Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the Backpacking and Blisters Podcast. Everybody, my name is Carl Mandrioli, and with me today is a man who plays croquet with a crowbar made of Velcro. That's right, Brad Crow Felton. How's it going, sir?
What's up, Carl? How's it going, man?
It's going good, man.
Good to be back.
You're back and better than ever. Yeah. So, yeah, you're replacing my typical co-host, Derek, who's still out with some family challenges, but he should be back next week for a long stretch. But, man, I so appreciate you stepping in while he's gone.
Yeah, no problem. I was like, man, I guess maybe he likes me, or can he call me back to come again? Yes, I'm still in.
Wait a second. Maybe he likes me? Okay, we got all right. If you're gonna pull that out, after the last time you were on, I had a great time. We got great feedback on the episode, and I was like, man, like Crow's one of the guys that I would actually like to go backpacking with. And so we started texting back and forth. And then yeah. I said, here are all of the trips I'm doing in 2023. So I threw out all the trips, all the dates. And do you remember what your response was?
I'm busy.
I would have taken that response. I got no response. It was a non-response.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I liked our episode better than he did.
Yeah. No, we got to go, man. We got to figure out a trip.
Don't worry. I'm usually the non-response. I get that like most of the time. So I just kind of roll with it. So I'll just keep throwing invites out there and we'll see what happens. But okay. I think it was back in November. It might have even been like early to mid-November you were on last time. So what's been going on since then? What are you up to?
Not a whole lot. I've done some trips, just in the Southeast places, and just doing videos and work, kids, family, okay, all that stuff. But hey, I'm loving it. It's been fun.
And yeah, for those who didn't catch the first episode, Crow's from Alabama and he prosecutes some terrible criminals and says that they typically get off when you're the lawyer in charge.
That's right. I'm a terrible lawyer, but I give it my best.
Oh my gosh. And another thing you're known for is on your videos, you got a character who works his way into some of your videos named Backpacker Bob. And yeah. I want to have Backpacker Bob on one of our shows one of these days. But for those who don't know the backstory, like who's Backpacker Bob and what's he been up to?
Well, he showed up in a couple of my videos. Used to live by me, but it was down by the interstate, underneath the interstate. And I met him one day. And so, so I was, people were entertained. He was in a few of my videos and he went on some hikes. And then he got lost out in Utah. And he was looking for the Middle Earth Trail. And,
which is it's probably in Utah, for being honest.
It felt like it out there, but he never found it. And then he ran out of money. But if you follow the playlist of Backpacker Bob, he has now was recently located in a dumpster behind a Taco Bell. And he is on the run from the law. So that's where he is.
Was he looking for the nastiest possible dumpster? Like, what dumpster could I jump into? Probably yeah. The Taco Bell one. Okay.
Well, he told me, he's had a good supply of quesadillas. They're a little stale, but he's still eating, so that's
oh
good.
My gosh. I saw there's a thumbnail one of Crow's recent videos that has Backpacker Bob peeking out from like under the lid of a dumpster, and I just, yeah, that got a laugh for sure. So All right. I want to, yeah, I guess when I meet him, I want to know how he came up with just the creative trail name of Backpacker Bob. Like that's backpacker as a backpacking trail name. Is that the best he could do?
He's a genius. I mean, but no, he's just a crusty old dude, kind of the cross between the old prospector from Toy Story and the Saturday Night Live episode where, what's his name, the actor, Will Ferrell, does Harry Carey.
That's kind of
the cross between who he is. Yeah, that's how I would describe him.
That's an interesting cross right there. Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll get to him later, maybe in a future episode. I hope so anyway. And yeah. In the meantime, though, we got budget gear coming up in this episode. We got budget gear items that are going to rival the pricey stuff. I'm really curious what you got on your list. But first, we got a Bible verse for our episode, Matthew 6, 26 to 27. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? That was one of the bird verses that came up, but kind of in reference to your name. Yeah. So, but this verse is really about worrying. So in general, are you a worrier? Like, do you worry about a lot of stuff on a backpacking trip?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And so that could be a whole nother episode. I'm anxiety ridden. Depression. I think I need to go take some pills right now.
You could do an episode on your worrying on a backpacking trip.
Oh gosh, you just don't know the half of it. But yeah,
no. I want to know. Well, give me, what do you worry about? Give me like a couple things here.
Yeah, I mean just the typical stuff, but mainly like when I'm driving out of the driveway, like what five things is not in my pack that I'm going to need, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Do you use a gear list?
No, I don't. I should. I don't have lighter pack. I don't use lighter pack or anything. Mm-hmm. I pretty much keep my pack down here in my little gear room packed, ready to go.
Okay.
And so I think we were talking offline about it. Like I'm ready to go with the exception of changing out certain things, you know, that I don't want to check. Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
No. I'm still interested. Yeah. Don't try to pass the buck here.
Don't try to.
You're worried about forgetting stuff. What's the worst thing you've forgotten?
TP. TP was a rough one. So you know, I was looking for the softest leaves and pine straw.
Wait, what's pine straw? No-go. Wait, is pine straw pine needles or what is it?
Oh yeah, pine needles. I guess in the South we say pine straw. Yeah, but I've hiked with many people from the North and they always say pine needles, and I'm almost like, what? Okay, yeah. Just a little.
I think the pine straw are closer to needles than to straw in terms of the feel of them, especially if you're using them as toilet paper. Just FYI.
Yeah.
All right. So what do I worry about? I'm worrying about, to be honest, I'm typically worrying about everybody else. Can they make it? Do they have the right gear? Are they going to show up? Is anybody going to miss a plane flight? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And all those things have happened where they don't have the right gear, that they have missed plane flights, or flights have gotten significantly delayed and they're kind of wrecking the trip. So yeah, that's my big concern. And then when I go with people that I haven't backpacked with, I worry about like, are they gonna have a good time? Like I really want them to have a good time. So
yeah. We recently just did, I had this thing we did last year. We did this year. It's called the Alabama Triple Crown. It's three trails in 3 days, total of 60 miles. So 20 miles each day. We're getting these people. I've never met them before. And they come and I did the same thing. I was like, I hope they have a good time. I hope they don't get injured. And I hope that, you know, there's no catastrophe because I was kind of a one-man show. Like, can I get them out? You know, what would be the options? So it all worked out, but I'm always worried about that. Yeah.
Wait, so you led this event and invited people that you hadn't met and they showed up to do 20 miles a day. Is that correct?
I did. I mean, a lot of people thought I was crazy, but so we did it last year with 13 YouTubers from around the country.
Right.
And this year I opened a Facebook group called the Alabama Triple Crown and people just started. What happened was we did at something called the Pinhoti Fest down here, which we had a booth. Our little group had a booth and Dixie Homemade Wonderlust gave a speech about through hiking and she had come to our booth. So she mentioned it in her big speech and then people started coming out like, I want to do this. So we ended up doing it two weekends in a row and like people came. Mm-hmm. Never met most of them and they had, you know, it was a blast. We had a great time.
And that's,
but I was worried. I was worried the whole time.
Yeah. Like, I would be worried.
You know,
just based on my experience with taking people that haven't been before, you just never know if people are really up to the challenge. Yeah. People that think they are not. And I mean, I just go back to one of my big trips where it wasn't even that hard of a backpacking trip. It was like, I mean, it was hard. 50 miles, 4 days. And the weakest link who needed to actually have gear taken out of his pack was an ultra marathon runner who did 100-mile trail races. Yeah. He was like, and it wasn't even close. Like, he just didn't know how to do footwear. He got terrible blisters. And so, like, I would have never predicted that. You just never know.
Yeah, you don't know. It's so different that people think, oh, I'm a runner. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a runner, I can backpack. Oh, it's just a different skill set, yeah. I guess. Or
well, it is. I mean, typically, you have a better, you know, you kind of start farther ahead than others. But yeah, carrying a lot of weight on your back is different than kind of, yeah. Interesting. I want to know more about that. So we'll have to circle back to that later. But that's really cool that you did that for sure. So, all right, let's get to the budget gear. Let's okay. get to the gear that, all right. So we've done, I think, one, maybe two episodes on some budget gear with some different guests. And the last time we did this, we had my co-host Derek, who came out with a really interesting definition of budget gear. So I think okay. we gotta set the ground rules here. We gotta make sure we're on the same page. How do you define budget gear?
And you told me this about to think about this, and I didn't really think about it. I mean, budget gear to me is it's gotta be inexpensive, but because we backpack for a while, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, cheap, bad quality gear. It's got to be something that is inexpensive, but is durable and can last in any, pretty much any backpacking experience.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. What inexpensive, I think, is a key word there. So I agree. Mine is more like inexpensive compared to comparable items or compared to like whatever the industry standard is or what the majority of the items are. Right.
Yeah. Okay. It's got to be comparable with something out there that's three times the price or something to that effect, right?
Yeah, and some of mine definitely are three times the price or two times the price for sure. So the item itself might not be cheap. Like, it could be a $50, $100 more item, but compared to what, you know, other items you might be looking at, it's cheaper.
I agree, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So we're on the same page. So yeah, we had an issue with Osprey being suggested as a budget gear company, and that did not go over well. So
interesting.
Yeah. All right. Okay. What is a budget piece of backpacking gear that competes with high end options? What's number one on your list?
Okay, so I chose three for this kind of discussion, and the first one that I'll say, and I've seen a couple of reviews on it, but it's still kind of like, I wish more people knew about it, because if you're getting into backpacking, I think it's a really good option of something that is so expensive. It's one of those big purchase items that you can get for less price, but same quality in my view. So all right. I have the Featherstone 20 degree quilt.
Okay.
This is just my humble opinion. To me, there is no difference. That's a pretty bold statement between this and the Aligned Equipment Revelation 20 degree.
Whoa. Okay. Aligned Equipment is definitely the high end option right there. Okay.
In fact, I feel like that, of course, I have the Revelation at 20 degree. I've had it for many, many years, and now the Loft is not what it used to be.
All right.
So when I got this, I was like, God, the Loft, goodness, the Loft is huge. You know, it feels like it's overstuffed, but it's just because it's new. And I think the Loft hasn't go down, but it has the same deal. The bottom, it cinches up. It has a zip cord pretty much to like mid calf. It comes with the straps that you can strap around your pad, or you can just strap it to itself and make it almost like a non-zipper quilt. But it even has a draft collar. And it has a cinch cord on top, and it has snaps on top.
It's got the doodads. It's got the accessories. What do you know what fill power it is off the top of your head?
I believe it's either 800 or 850.
Is it? Do you know ballpark price on it?
Gosh, I should have looked it up, because I can't remember exactly. All I know is it was significantly cheaper than if you go on and try to pick your colors and stuff for Enlightened Equipment.
Oh, right. For sure.
For the 20, I can't remember what the 20 was, but the last time I checked, they only sell it in the 20 degree, I guess, because that's one of the most popular degrees, mm-hmm. and they only have one color. It's only black with an orange inside.
Okay.
So I guess they mass produce it and are able to get the price down low.
It's $200.
Okay. Yeah.
And lighting equipment, you're probably looking at what would be like $400 double.
I'm guessing. Yeah. I haven't bought one in a while. I have two and mm-hmm. it's been several years because gosh, that to me is the biggest thing that I've, when I started, I was like, oh gosh, this is going to be expensive to get into backpacking to buy a quilt.
1 pound, 7 ounces for the regular size. And, but you said 20 degrees and that's a popular degree, but are you not using a 20 degree quilt like in Alabama or down by where you are? Right.
Not really. I mean, in the winter, yes.
Okay.
But I'm using like a throw down blanket sometimes, a lot of times in the summer. So,
right.
But I mean, you know, with a quilt though in the South, I mean, you can just unzip it and then just use half of it or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just I think it's just a good degree to get because you can do a lot of trips with a 20.
Yeah, I've got like a 30 or 35 and like a zero, and there's times I've wanted the 20 for sure, mm-hmm. but I'm always trying to skimp or whatever. But okay, that's a good one. All right, so we got quilt is number one, Featherstone, mm-hmm. and we'll have this. I'll have this in the show description for you know both YouTube and for the audio apps, just to clarify. All right, my number one, I gotta say this ahead of time, is my list. I just get a lot of things suggested to me, but I'm not as much of a gear purchaser probably as your average backpacker. And so I'm just going to tell you what I've seen, and I'll tell you if there's an item that gets like my stamp of approval where I've actually used it for a time period and it's holding up for the duration versus just a suggested item. So actually kind of going back to yours, does the Featherstone get your stamp of approval? Like you've used it for a while, you trust it?
Yeah, so I've got the Featherstone quilt and I'll get to that in a minute, but yes, it does because yeah. I bought it for my son because he was getting into backpacking and I knew I needed to get him a quilt just so that he didn't have that huge, you know, old style backpack with a sleeping bag on top. So when I saw it and I want to say I got it for $180 when they had a sale. So, oh,
okay. So keep it,
that
keep
reminded it, me when sales. You said the price, we've used it many, many times. And I just think it's a great option. Yeah.
Holding up. All right. Stamp approval, Crow's stamp approval there. All right. So this one, my first one, it has to do with gloves basically. So I went to the Tetons last fall, cold, rainy. I knew I needed to bring gloves. I don't have backpacking gloves. I have like running gloves, which are not the same thing. Yeah. They weren't waterproof. So I went to REI and I looked for gloves. And I was shocked at the price of gloves, like to the point where I was like, I can't justify spending $90 on a pair of just, you know, REI switchback insulated waterproof gloves. All right. Yeah. Sounds like a lot going on there, but it's REI brands. Entry level is $90. I was like, there's gloves. I mean, there's not even a lot of material there. Mm-hmm. And so I just ended up bringing my running gloves and it worked out. Okay. But on the trip, I was with Jason from Indiana and we actually like, so he had a pair of gloves and we actually ran to somebody who had the same exact gloves. These are not made for backpacking, but if you're looking for a really budget option, and you're going on a colder trip or you need gloves, it's called something like the Showa Temrez 282 insulated gloves. And I think they're more like worker gloves or something, but they're mm-hmm. waterproof. They're like, I said, they're insulated and they're lightweight. They're bright blue. They're like Smurf gloves. $21.
Oh, wow.
Compared to 90. Yeah. So next trip I go on, these are the ones I'm going to bring. Jason, who's much more of a gear expert than I am, like swears by him and he seems to know his stuff and he's bringing them. So I would trust him.
And where do you get them?
Oh, sorry. Amazon.
On Amazon. Okay. On maybe Amazon. So. Okay.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. Good question. So there you go. That's my first one. Gloves. I'm actually really frustrated by the price of gloves and even running gloves, just like cheapo running gloves are just like, you're talking $30-$40. I'm like, they don't, I don't know. There you go. That's my number one. All right. Number two, what you got?
I like that. That's a good, I'm actually going to look at that. So number two, I didn't know I was sticking with this. So I was mentioning Featherstone. I just recently did a review of this tent. It's the Featherstone Backbone 1 and they have a Backbone 2.
Wait, are you sponsored by Featherstone?
No, no. In fact, I bought the quilt, but when Featherstone saw my quilt video, I did a review of it. So they did actually send me this one.
Okay.
And so I just recently did this and I mean, I am super impressed with this because it's a trekking pole tent. It's the first time they tried a trekking pole tent. Mm-hmm. The one person tent is $159 and the two person tent is $179. Okay. And it's, you know, still nylon. Mm-hmm. I think it's a brilliant design. They have, it's ventilated all the way around, huge vestibules on both sides. The one and the two kind of remind you of the Gossamer Gear one and two. I think it has similar features. I mean, obviously a third of the price. So,
right.
Not as light, obviously, as Gossamer Gear one and two. In the two version, almost looks a little bit like the duplex, but in a silk nylon fabric.
Right.
And the two is very roomy. The one is what you would think a one person tent. I mean, it's basically a coffin with big vestibule doors. So, you know, the vestibule doors give you what you need because you can put all your gear on both sides because that's two vestibules for the one and the two.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like the Gossamer Gear two, maybe a little tighter on the two version. But at $179, that's why I pulled it, because I was trying to think of three things, and I just got this and just did the review and have been super impressed with this thing.
2 pounds, 12 ounces for, is this the, I think it's the one person is what we're at.
Is it live yet? They told me it wasn't coming out till the end of May, 1st of June. So they got it on their website.
It says in stock June 12th. So June 12th, about a month out. And it says there's like a, can't click on it button, says sold out. So, so it's coming. All right.
Brilliant design. They even have like the duplex, the Z-Bike duplex has, they have this mesh around the bottom that connects to the vestibule a little bit on the top, so that when most of your air is coming out, the condensation, you've got this little bit of place for condensation to flow. Which I thought was neat. I've never seen that before.
Right. Okay. So Featherstone Backbone one person trekking pole tent. Check it out. Yeah. For $160 for that weight and for the, like what you're describing, the quality on it, like, I think that's a good deal. That's a good answer right there. Yeah. I like that one.
And one other thing I failed to mention is first time I'd ever seen this. Will is the owner of Featherstone. Mm-hmm. And I got to talk to him after he sent me this for a little while. And he did something I hadn't seen on a tent yet, and you can see it in my video. He puts little rings at the corners for you to put your stake in. So they're metal O-rings for the corners. So you don't have to worry about the wear and tear on the edges for you stake out, because it's got a little ring for your stake. I've never seen that before. I thought it was really a brilliant design.
Wait a second. Have you worn out, like, whatever your stake loop is? Have you done that before? Is it worn through?
I have one that did that. It pulled mostly. Well, I say that. No, it really came. It pulled from the tent itself. But from this, so you don't have to fiddle around and pull it apart to get the stake through. You've got this O-ring, and it's got a unique design of the cords come out to give you this little stand-up area for the bathtub floor, and then it pulls to this O-ring. I don't know. You just have to see it, but it's he did a lot of good designing on this thing. It's just, it's not your just typical tent, you know?
Maybe. Yeah. We try to do an episode, I don't know, once or twice a season, where we have kind of up and coming companies on, and we have kind of the guy or the lady who's, you know, less, you know, designer, CEO, whatever. So maybe we should we have Will on? Was he a good guy to chat with?
Yeah, I'll hook you up with him. He basically got it. He's basically what this episode is about. Like, when I was talking to him, he saw all these high priced gear companies. He said, "Can I make something that has some good quality, but doesn't break the bank?" So that's kind of his philosophy. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So that I'll tuck that away. There's definitely some companies I have in the list, and he could be a possibility. All right, my number two is, it kind of has to do with stoves. So I've got a couple different options here. And so in terms of budget stoves, like the stoves are getting pretty crazy. So like the MSR Pocket Rocket 2, which is a pretty basic stove. I know it's kind of, you know, redesigned since the Pocket Rocket 1, but it's $60. And so I think a lot of YouTube backpackers, they're going with a BRS 3000 at this point, because it's $16 on Amazon. $16. Yep. And it is inefficient which doesn't really matter if you're going on an overnight trip or a two-night trip. It might matter if you're going on a three-night trip, especially if you're sharing it, but it's inefficient, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's inefficient for the shorter trips. I would not bring this on a longer trip if I was sharing this, like if I have my family with me, for example. But if you're looking for like entry-level stove, you've probably already heard of this one, all right? So I'm going to try to take this to the next level here. And I've had multiple people suggest that they like JetBoil, but they hate the price. And Have you used JetBoil before?
I have a JetBoil knockoff, and
this is where I'm going.
And I like it, but it's just kind of bulky. But I do like it because it is very efficient. Like I could tell that I'm just
I got two JetBoil knockoff options. All right, so if you don't mind the bulkiness, you just like the fast boiling. On Amazon, there's like multiple brands. One of them is called like Fire Maple, and they, you know, like they're knockoffs. And I know people get nervous about knockoffs with the brands, but I feel like the stove technology, the basic concept of fuel comes out of a spout and you light it. Like it's not, there's not a lot to go wrong there, right? Like there's not a lot
it's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science. The science behind JetBoil is not in the stove. It's in the pot that connects to it to keep it more efficient, to kind of keep it housed in a very efficient way. That's where what you're paying for with the JetBoil, not the stove itself necessarily. JetBoil did make some like Mighty Mo stoves, which, you know, you can turn and you can simmer and that kind of thing. But if you're just looking for the fast boil, I think the knockoff, again, like I don't have my stamp of approval on this one. It's not tried and true, but I've had a lot of people suggest this. They're like, we like the concept, but we go with the knockoff. Another knockoff you can do is if you have like the MSR Pocket Rocket 2, but you want to be more efficient, or you have that BRS stove, you want to be more efficient. There's like an Ollie Camp 1 liter cooking pot, and that's $27. You can pair that with your existing stove, and it looks basically like the JetBoil housing where it kind of makes your stove more efficient. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was specifically suggested by Brooke from Florida, who is one of our Patreon supporters. And so Brooke, good suggestion. And that's, so those are some options. If you just want what JetBoil has to offer, but you don't want to pay $100 to $150 for it, there you go.
I want to check that out. So it does, and I don't know the science, but it has that conduction or convection thing at the bottom that JetBoil has that kind of makes the flame go all around it or something.
It just kind of like houses the flame so that way the heat is not escaping.
You're still heating
and it's kind of sending the heat up to the pot. So it just kind of makes your boil times faster, more efficient. And I got to look at the weight of the pot. I'm sure it's heavier than your typical pot, but if you're looking for function over weight, it's not that much heavier anyway. And you're getting a faster boil time. So,
right.
So there's mine. So thanks for the suggestions from the folks that kind of reached out with that one. All right. So that's my number two. And you got one more. You got number three.
I do have one more, and keeping in line with this idea that I was purchasing gear for my son, who's, he was 15 at the time. Now he's 16. I was trying to get him so if he wanted to go, you never know with a 16-year-old, but if he wanted to go, then I've got him ready to go. You know, I've got all the basics. So I looked around, I saw a lot of gear reviews, and I settled with, and I'm really glad I did, this Nature Hikes Outdoors pack. It's 60 liter. Great frame. It has kind of a lollipop aluminum frame in it and works pretty well. It has a good cushion on the back. It even has a built-in pocket here, but the pocket does sit up a little high. A hip belt on it, just attached. Great hip pocket on it. And it even has a built-in rain fly on the bottom. So our rain poncho cover for it. So you just zip it. It's already there. So that was nice that I don't have to go purchase that. Rolls down, has even a little rope feature on the top if you want to put something on the top, like a sleeping pad or something else. And a good pocket on the back. So super inexpensive. I can't remember what it was.
$85. $85.
$85 for this.
Yeah. For the 40. For the 40 plus like the 5 liter whatever attachment. It's $90 for the 60 liter, it looks like.
Okay. I've been super impressed with it. It's very durable. Now, is it the lightest pack in the world? No. I can't remember exactly. Maybe you can see it on the specs, but it's not super light, but it's not super heavy either. So, great for him.
Well, is it adjustable at all by any chance?
You know, I thought about that, and I don't remember it being. No, it is not adjustable, so you have to get the size. I can't remember. You have a small, medium, and large, I believe.
Okay.
Or maybe they don't. Maybe they just have the one size. I can't remember. Yeah. But
If you're looking for entry level for kids, for me, the adjustability is so important because I keep on buying packs and my kids grow out of them within the year. So, but if you have somebody who's kind of maxed out with their size, like, okay, this, it says that the basic pack weighs 1.16 kilograms. So what is that? Like 2.5 pounds-ish?
2.5 pounds. Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. That's great. Yeah. I take that for 90 bucks. That's a great option.
90 bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you got somebody that's going to go with you, maybe you have your pack and then you have this as a spare. If you got a friend that wants to go for the first time,
right.
It's a great pack to have, right. You know?
They've got the one they have in stock right now is black and kind of gray, which I don't mind that color, but the one you have, I really like that blue color. It's pretty sharp right there. Yeah.
In fact, I think when I got it, it was on sale. I think somebody was doing a review and they had a 15% off and they,
and
this was the only color at the time. So I think you just have to go with what they got, but yeah, 90 bucks. If somebody's getting into it, I think it's a great option.
I might get one of those and do like a review on it as well. Cause that looks, your answers have been awesome, man. So I gotta like start bookmarking the stuff that you're talking about. My last one, I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast or not because we've done, 230 plus episodes at this point. So forgive me if I've mentioned this one already, but this is something I do put my stamp of approval on. This is something that I've been using for multiple trips. And I've started to bring, especially, spring and fall trips, I started to bring a down jacket. And most down jackets are stinking expensive. So, for example, the Mountain Hardwear Ghost Whisperer, which is a very popular backpacking jacket, is, $300 at this point?
Yeah.
Weighs in at 8.8 ounces, got the 800 fill power down. They talk about some sort of like down mixture that they're using. And I bought the Decathlon, I don't know how you pronounce it, Forclaz down jacket, suggested to me by Justin Outdoors, so it's sold by Decathlon, which is like kind of a European outdoor company. And it weighs a little more. It weighs 10.2 ounces. You're adding 1.4 ounces, which is, not a lot.
Yeah.
And
minuscule, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's up to, it's like 85, 90 bucks or maybe 80 bucks. I think I thought I'd put that down in my notes. I did not. So $80 to $90, I'll say, which is still just a fraction of the price of kind of the bigger, higher end ones. I've worn this down jacket on multiple backpacking trips, but I've also worn it around town. So I've actually put a lot of time in the jacket and quality solid, warmth is solid. It also has the 800 fill power down. Look it up if you want more specs. I'll have the link in the show description. But do you wear a down jacket or what's your story?
I do. I've got an old school down jacket that I bought years ago. It's some like garage kind of sale. I look like the kid from A Christmas Story in it because it's so puffy. But it's super warm, so I like it. And then I have like a budget version like you're talking about, but not that one. But I did see Tom Walker from Following Walker's World did a review of his, and I trust him, so I assume he really likes it. And I've seen it on sale, like.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been also like 20 bucks less than it usually is or something.
Yeah. So you can bookmark it and kind of check back periodically. So, all right. Those are three that where you can, pick between like the budget category versus the high end category, spend less money versus spend more money. But I got a bonus list that I call free gear replacements where you can replace not necessarily high end gear, but gear that costs money with something for free. All right. So I've got
good idea.
You probably do some of this stuff too. I'm going to tell you what I do. And you can tell me if you agree or disagree. Just tell me disagree and why. All right. Free gear replacement. You can buy a trowel for like $5 to $10, $20 for going titanium, or you could not buy a trowel. You can go for free and use the side of your foot, your shoe, a rock, something to dig the hole instead. Free option. Don't buy the trowel. What do you say?
No, not doing it.
You feel like using a rock is too difficult.
No, rock. Yeah. I was thinking about the shoe. No. Yeah. A rock. Yes. And I have done that many times. I've done that many times. Yeah. Okay. I would go with that.
Saves you 3-4 ounces and a little bit of money. All right, here we go. Next one. More controversial. You can buy some lightweight, even ultralight camp shoes. I've seen like really ultralight ones sell 50 bucks, 70 bucks, buy some Crocs, whatever. Or not. You can leave those at home, take the insoles out of your shoes, walk around differently, walk around barefoot if you're talking about the summertime, and have no camp shoes. You can save 8 ounces to a pound off your pack weight. Leave it at home. Save the cash. What do you say to that?
I'm definitely down with that. I was a camp shoe guy for many years.
Okay.
And got made fun of for it. And I've pretty much gone away from camp shoes. I don't carry them. I don't carry them anymore.
Okay. All right. Wow. You're easy to please then. Okay. I'm going to go more controversial than that. Even more controversial than camp shoes. All right. The sit pad. A lot of people are straight up buying the sit pad, not like cutting off some old foam and using it, but they're buying the sit pad. I just say, look, if you're taking a long break, you had a lunch break, pull out the chair, pull out the luxury. You're taking a short break. You don't need to sit down. Just keep it going. Keep moving. Maybe take fewer breaks. Maybe consider that just an option, but leave a sit pad at home. You're saving what, like an ounce or two, maybe at the most, but you're saving some money. What do you say to that one?
I think you want me to disagree. So I'm going to disagree.
No. I want you to be true to yourself.
No. So I do believe in the dual purpose stuff. So my sit pad is a thing. You know, I think you and I were talking about people that we used to watch when we got into backpacking. Early Riser is a guy who did the AT in like 2018 or something like 2017. He has this rule that stuck with me over the years, is that I always, when I get to camp or if I sit down, I always have my gear that I get out of my pack touch something so that I don't lose it or miss it in the leaves or something whenever I pull stuff out of my pack, because I've done that before. So
miss it in the leaves. Sorry. Sparked memory there.
So I take my sit pad and I have it out by my tent or when I'm sitting, and I always make sure that any gear that I take out of my pack, whatever for lunch, whatever, is touching that sit pad.
That's
why I use it. That's why I take it, as that dual purpose.
That's but the best reason I ever heard for a sit pad. I like that. So it's touching something, that way you're less likely to lose it. Yeah. I was just thinking, we went on a trip in Emigrant Wilderness in Northern California, North of Yosemite. This is years ago, but our good friend Rocky, friend of the show, we made a stop and he took a dive into a lake, and I was just kind of waiting for them to kind of get their, you know, stuff back together. And I just looked at his gear and he had like wallet and keys out of the pack under some leaves, like in the bushes. Yeah. And so maybe that's a good rule for him, because that's hilarious.
Yeah. We recently did a trip where on that Alabama Triple Crown thing, and one of the participants had to use a restroom break, let's just say, and left their phone, their iPhone, at the tree. And we went like 4 miles, and then they advised me they had left their tree back at the left their phone back at a tree.
Yeah.
4 miles back. So I went back and I was trying to FaceTime them and had very limited service. And they were like, oh no, it's the other tree to the left. And then I'm thinking, wait, what am I about to step in this tree? You know?
Oh my goodness. Wait, so 4 miles back is 8 miles round trip. Those 8 miles is extra.
It was rough. Yeah. But we made it happen. It was good. It was good.
Do you bring your cell phone to the tree?
Yeah. I think that was a bad mistake, but you know, they were super nice and we wanted to find it for them. So we did. It worked out. And then I had somebody pick me up on the road.
Okay.
You know, as I was making my way back. So it all worked out. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get on a rabbit trail, but yeah, that is my thing about, like, when you take stuff out of your pack, you got to make it touch something that you'll find it, you know? Yeah.
I don't bring my cell phone to the tree. I don't know if I should, as like an emergency thing. I mean, I know people have gotten lost in the bathroom, like you kind of get turned around or whatever, but I typically just bring the gear, so to speak. Interesting.
Just the TP. Yeah. In the trowel. Yeah.
I got one last one, free gear replacement. So headlamps, and it costs you $30 to $60. Grab the flashlight out of your junk drawer, leave the headlamp, don't buy it. I just saved you a lot of money there. You already have a bunch of flashlights there. What do you say to that one?
I've done that before, but I usually am, when I've got my headlamp, I'm always doing something. I need both hands, either putting up a tent or arranging gear or cooking, and I need both hands. So
okay.
And it usually won't fit on my ear, like just to put the flashlight on my ear. Like a pencil. So I need the headlamp.
Okay. I actually don't buy that one. I was just trying to get a rise out of you, trying to get a reaction out of that one.
Okay, well, good.
Hopefully there's something, some sort of takeaway from budget gear versus, you know, the premium stuff. And I liked your list. And yeah, definitely, like I mentioned, we'll have it in the show description. So speaking of budget gear, I got budget trivia coming up for you right after this.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Are you looking to be less sore, a stronger climber, or simply faster on the trail? Then check out the Training for Trekking podcast. These bite-sized episodes are full of excellent information that can improve your trail performance. He's specially trained in sports science and strength and conditioning to get your body in the right shape and prepared for adventure. Check out the Training for Trekking podcast wherever you get your podcast.
All right, budget trivia is brought to you by Vaucluse Gear. Let's be honest, back sweat really dampens our spirits. Not only is it uncomfortable and potentially dangerous, it's gross to look at. The Vaucluse Ultralight Ventilation Backpack Frame can solve this problem. This game-changing solution fits all backpacking packs up to 65 liters to give you the ventilation you need to stay drier. Use code BLISTERS for $10 off at VaucluseGear.com. Budget trivia. So I got three questions. You got to get two to pass.
Okay.
All right. You said that trivia is not your strong suit. You lost trivia last time. Yeah. But you know what? There's always hope.
Last time you had me markings of different gear companies, like what their logo was. And Yeah.
Gear logos. Yeah. That was a good one. We should go back to that. We should do that one again. All right. That doesn't really relate to this. It kind of relates, but you'll see. Number one, you have some disposable income in your budget this month. Which of the following is the best investment if you want to lighten your load? So here, yeah, three options here. A, moving from a synthetic to down sleeping bag with the same comfort rating. B, upgrading from an Amazon chair, like an Amazon backpacking chair, to a Hyperlite chair? No. Oh, man. What's the name of the company?
Helinox.
Helinox. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, brain fart there. I typed Hyperlite. Helinox chair. So Amazon chair to Helinox chair. C, buying Dyneema bags with your logo on it to organize all of your kits.
Wait, go back to the question. What's the question again?
You got disposable income. Which of the following is the best investment if you want to lighten your load?
Either the Dyneema bags or the chair. You're saying upgrade?
Yeah.
Or going from synthetic to down?
Right.
I'm going to go with the synthetic to down.
Synthetic to down is actually second place. You're close, but incorrect. Yeah. So typically when I did the comparisons, it was like you could save about a half a pound to a pound. Whereas the Amazon chairs are typically you're saving 1 to 2 pounds, sometimes more than that. So it was the chair.
Okay.
And the Dyneema bags, you're actually gaining weight. It's the opposite and you're spending a lot of money. So we've already covered that in previous episode.
That's a good question. Because that's a good thing to think about too, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, especially when you got disposable income, which is not a typical scenario that I've got, but you never know. You never know what the future holds. Number two, you're planning a backpacking trip on the cheap. Which phone app can save you the most money? Three options. A, All Trails. B, Gas Buddy. C, Mint.
Mint. I don't even know what Mint is.
Really? Okay. Well, they don't choose that one.
Yeah, I can't go with that one.
Okay.
What's going to save me? I'm going to say, I'm never good at this stuff. I'm going to say Gas Buddy because I have that app.
Okay.
And I do find the lowest price gas when I use that app. Usually sometimes it's 20, you know, it could be 15, 20 cents a gallon. Now, yeah. I don't know what that first option was and speak to that, but I know of a gas buddy. I do save money, so I'll go with that one.
Okay, gas buddy is correct. Good job on that one. Yeah. So all trails, like if you're spending whatever it is, a $30, $35 annual fee, then you don't have to buy like a hard copy map. But the maps are 10 to 15 bucks. So if you're talking about one trip going cheap, it's actually going to cost you more money. And then Mint's more of just like a money management, kind of like financial planning sort of app.
Okay. I have seen that. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, it can help you budget, but it's not specific to like one backpacking trip necessarily. So you're one for two. You got to get this one right. Number three, you spent some money up front on backpacking permits, hotel rooms, and other travel costs with the expectation that your friends pay you back. You communicated the costs up front and included both an email form and on the gear list that you sent out. We already learned you don't use a gear list, but let's pretend that you do. All right, but there's still a person or two that hasn't done so, and the trip is over. How do you handle this? I don't have options. This is an open-ended question. What do you do?
I would call Backpacker Bob and ask him to go shake him down.
Climb out of the dumpster, Backpacker Bob.
I guess I would see if one of the other guys is friends with the guys who hasn't paid, and I would say to the other guy, hey, he hasn't paid. You want to nudge him? Or, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm going to pass the buck and make my friend do it for me. All right. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much me. I would be passing the buck.
Okay. You do not fit the typical like stereotype of the lawyer who is very like pointed and in your face and not afraid to like, you know, like jam your thumb into somebody's chest and be like, hey, give me the cash.
I told you I'm not a good lawyer. I don't have the demeanor for it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I will accept that answer. The more passive aggressive approach of getting your friend to do that. I actually haven't tried that, so I'll have to try that technique.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about this scenario like a number of times on our podcast. And honestly, like for me, it's gotten way better. It's not perfect. We still have some issues with this, but it's gotten way better since we actually started our podcast and started complaining about this. So is this a problem for you? Have you experienced this?
You know, it's probably been me. And mostly because I'm forgetful. No, we're going on a trip coming up, and I did like forecast it to the person who paid for the campsites. I went ahead and said, "Hey, send me your Venmo so that I won't forget." Like,
I took the
initiative so that I won't forget myself. Because you don't want to be that guy. That's horrible. If you're that guy and you don't even know it, that's terrible.
I mean, if I'm typically asking twice, I feel like that's enough, and I don't want to. I just feel like at that point you don't care enough. If I'm asking twice, you still haven't paid. So, because you can,
they just don't get invited. They don't get invited the next trip.
I've rolled that idea around for sure. Or I've just been more upfront. Or I don't know. I guess I could prorate the next trip cost and be like, you know what, this trip's more expensive for you because you didn't pay the last time. But
yeah.
All right, my friend. So you passed 2 out of 3. Congratulations. No peeling stickers off this time. So. All right. So we got tidbits here at the end. I got a couple. I got one for me, one for you. So first one is we got a new Patreon supporter. Thank you to Austin from Ohio. He's a Boy Scout or was a Boy Scout that's done a lot in the Midwest. In college, he hit up the Wayne National Forest. I always ask the new Patreon supporters like what they want to see in the show or kind of, you know, episode suggestion ideas. And he wants to see a breakdown of the pros and cons of different stove systems, which we sort of touched on today a little bit.
Yeah,
but I'm not so sure. I don't know. We're not like the techie. We're not the techie podcast. And so I don't know if this is a good fit for a podcast. Have you done a YouTube video on something like that?
I've reviewed a couple of stoves, but I keep it pretty basic because if I try to go beyond my expertise, it will look really goofy. So yeah, I just say, look, I don't know all the ins and outs. Here's what I do know. And it's pretty basic, but
right. No,
that would be a good topic if you had somebody who was into that stuff, maybe an electrician or something, or somebody who had some knowledge.
Somebody who knows how to do the scientific method, maybe would be helpful.
right.
But yeah, and you have to have all the stoves. And so I've got a couple, but I don't have, I don't have like all of them.
There's so many designs out there. You got like the Whisper Light, you got all these crazy stoves. I mean, that would take a lot. It'd be a huge investment too.
For sure. 100%. So yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen on our podcast. We'll still talk about stoves though, but it's a good suggestion because I think, having that information is helpful, especially if you're doing longer trips and want to know like efficiency versus weight versus all that stuff. But second tidbit, my friend, you've got a YouTube channel, which is like massively increasing in popularity, at least in the last year, it looks like it has. You've got Instagram. Like, tell us where we can find you. What's going on?
I'm on YouTube as a crow flies hiking, and I'm on Instagram as a crow flies hiking. Facebook is just crow flies hiking. I don't know how that got there. And so, yeah, that's where you can mostly find me. Unless you want to go hike with me, and then just give me a call and or email me. We'll figure something out.
Just 20 miles a day, right?
Yeah, maybe.
That's what you said. That was a trip that you invited people on. Just come hike with me. Just 20 miles a day. That's it.
No problem. You got it.
So check his stuff out. Always good stuff. And that's where you can find Backpacker Bob as well. Same YouTube channel. Brad Crowfelton, man, so appreciate you coming on the show. Sure. Guest host and filling for Derek. Man, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
It was so much fun, man. I'm so glad you called. And it was fun just pulling out this. I love budget gear stuff. That's something I'm excited about, especially, you know, people call you all the time or text you and say, hey, how can I get into backpack I really want? So I always love that kind of stuff, because I can say, hey, you know, there's this piece of gear. It might work for you, you know. So I love that stuff. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. All right, everybody. Thanks for checking in. And like I said, Derek will be back next week. God bless you, everybody. Have a great week.
Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow.
Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.